Positive Chats podcast. Good morning. I am Maggie. And today we are talking with Erin Davis. Erin is a writer and teacher passionately committed to getting women of all ages to the deep well of God's word. And I'm reading out to see author of more than a dozen books. Wow, that's an accomplishment. I've read more than a dozen books.
Me too, but not lately.
So, let's see, you have a bunch of, you have some studies. Let's see, you serve in the continent. Let's see, I'm trying to read through and get all of your stuff in, but you know what is best? Tell me who you are. Tell our listeners who Erin is.
Happy to. First and foremost, a follower of Jesus and love to be able to share about him wherever I go. Married to my high school sweetheart, Jason, and we have four sons. So a lot of testosterone at my house. And we live on a little farm in the Midwest. And when I'm not chasing those children to running them to basketball or soccer or football or all those things, I love to write about God's word. So yeah, I've written some books. I have the privilege of Bible teaching in my living room and in other people's churches, and it's a great joy.
Oh, I bet that is. That sounds like a whole lot of fun. Mm. So we're talking about the book today. We have a copy of The Fasting and Feasting. So this is a 40-day devotional to satisfy a hungry heart. So what inspired you to write this book, this devotional?
Well, I am... God's word is such a treasure trove, and everything I write comes out of my own relationship with the Lord and his word. And several years ago, I got really interested in the concept of fasting. A couple places in scripture that jumped out at me. One's Mark 9, and that's where Jesus heals this demon-possessed boy. Mm-hmm. The disciples had tried, and they couldn't. Yeah. So later, they were like, Jesus, what's the deal? And he said, this kind can only be driven out by prayer and fasting. And I'm sure this has happened to you. That just jumped off the page at me because I thought, I have some this kinds. I have some things that I've tried to fix and haven't been able to. And then there's the seven feasts in Leviticus 23 are fascinating to me. And so I'd been kind of parallel studying those and started fasting in my own life because I see it in scripture and discovered not a lot of Christians talk about it. Not a lot of Christians do it. Not a lot of Christians teach on it. But again, it's all throughout God's word. So that turned into the book Fasting and Feasting.
So, I mean, because they talk about 40 comes up a lot in the Bible.
Yep.
So, and the 40 days of fasting, obviously, most famously is Jesus being out in the wilderness. So I love that you pulled that in and you got that into a devotional. So in this book, you share also a glimpse of your relationship with food, which, you know, it can be complicated for most of us. So tell me about that. What is your first step towards that freedom in your own life?
Yeah, complicated is the word I hear most often attached to food. And while I appreciate the honesty, I got to wonder, did God intend for us to have to face something every day? Everybody has to eat every day. And for us to feel this constant kind of tension where it comes to that. And I grew up in a home where food was loved and hated. I watched my mom be on every kind of diet imaginable. And that was confusing to me because, you know, my mom was the most beautiful girl in the world to me. And yet I knew there was kind of this disconnect with food. And I had lived the same way for decades. I loved to eat. And then it was also a source of shame. I loved to have people in my home and feed them, but then also felt like it was an area where I was out of control. And I don't know, I hit my 40s and just thought, this can't be it. It can't be that I'm supposed to always be gravitating towards food and then feeling like I can't have any victory in that area. And when I found those two rhythms in scripture, which I really feel like are all over God's word, fasting and feasting, that unlocked something for me. I think God cares a lot about our rhythms. Mm-hmm. He cares about work and rest. He cares about morning and laughter, day and night. And I think when it comes to food, he's given us these two gifts, fasting and feasting. So The step to victory in everything is to turn to God's word and see what he has for us to say. And I just had never done that really about food before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what advice would you give somebody who's struggling with food?
I think, you know, it's okay to be fed up. Galatians says that it's for freedom's sake that Christ set us free. Now, that's a salvation passage. It's talking about the fact that we've been freed from sin and death. But it also means that God, once we're free in Christ, we are to live as free people. Mm-hmm. And if food is an area where you don't feel freedom, where you feel a lot of bondage or chains. There's another passage in scripture that says that a man is enslaved to whatever controls him. And I think a lot of us would say, yeah, my food cravings control me. So your first step is going to sound so Sunday school, but it's our first step for everything, is go to the Lord in prayer and say, hey, this is like an area where I don't have freedom. Right. And because of I want to have a free life in you, would you show me how? And he will. And then I direct you to the Gospels. Jesus is our prototype, our model for everything. And if you just read through the Gospels looking for how Jesus interacted with food, which he did, he was fully God and fully man. He ate, he drank, he fasted, he feasted. I think that's a good first step to try and understand really his design for this area of our lives.
Right, right. So you have, of course, fasting, feasting, and so many different ideas of this. So what does this mean to you, though? I mean, you know.
Yeah, I wanted to write a book just on fasting. That was really my goal, because I have this dream. What if the church, and I don't mean my church, I mean your church, the church around the world.
Yeah.
What if the church around the world would fast and pray in 2022? And that gives me goosebumps every time I say it, because what we see in scripture is when God's people fast and pray, big things change. And I don't need to tell those of you who are listening that big things need to change. Our world is groaning under the weight of turning from the Lord. So I wanted to call the church to fast and pray. But I also want to call the church to feast, because I think when you study scripture holistically, you see both of those, which is to enjoy the abundance God's given us, to have grateful hearts, to be thankful for the food in our refrigerator and the coffee in our mug, and also to live our lives surrendered. So I'm passionate about both, but fasting has become this part of my spiritual life that is so beautiful, so fruitful. And I guess I would just call my Christian brothers and sisters to just think about it. Just ask the Lord about it. Just ask the Holy Spirit to show you what fasting might look like in your life, because I think it's a gift that many of us leave unwrapped. And I want to see everybody unwrapping that gift.
Oh, yeah. I mean, God did give us a great gift, and we just need to embrace that. So,
yeah.
So theology, you've studied a lot. You've said it says embrace theology that transforms the mundane. So how does that, embracing that theology, how does that transform the mundane? Tell me about it.
Yeah. I once heard a pastor say that God must care about the mundane because there sure is a lot of it. And I love that. Immediately I thought about my laundry. I mean, you can imagine with four boys, like my part-time job is laundry, and it can feel like such a waste of time. But I've started writing in the bottom of all my laundry baskets when I heard that. He who can be entrusted with little can be entrusted with much. That's Jesus speaking. And it's that idea that if Jesus can't trust me to do my laundry with joy, he can't entrust anything else to me. And I think that principle applies elsewhere. I mean, you have to eat today. If you don't, your body's going to start sending you warning signs. And I think we divide ourselves into like the physical life and the spiritual life. Right. And God cares about all of it. God created your body. He created your need for food. He created the food that meets that need. And so for me, it's just been so exciting to invite God into a part of my everyday life with my family, with myself, and realize he has something to show me, even in that mundane thing of what am I going to have for breakfast? What am I going to cook for dinner? Do we have groceries in the fridge? All that stuff. Yeah. To know God cares about it and I can glorify him in it has been really liberating for me.
Yeah. So what are some biblical examples you've came up with about using food to illustrate?
Oh, good question. Yeah. Food is all over the Bible.
It is.
If you start in Genesis with the first few chapters of Genesis, well, first of all, Genesis chapter one, God creates all the food. But then, you know, the fall of man, that is related to they reach for that forbidden fruit, right? And then you keep going, Cain and Abel, just a little while later, there's a disagreement between those brothers about their food offerings to the Lord. And I think of the Israelites as they were wandering in the wilderness, they're complaining about the leeks and garlic that they're missing from Egypt. Those seven feasts I mentioned in Leviticus 23, as they're heading into the promised land, there's those grapes so big they're carried on a pole, right? That's a food reference. Yeah. And New Testament, we go into the New Testament, Jesus ate, he drank, he gathered with sinners. He, as he was going to the cross, he had food with his friends, that what we call the Last Supper, and he explained to them he was going to be poured out like a drink offering. He's talking about food references yes. there. He called himself the bread of life. Right. Go all the way to Revelation. What's heaven going to be like? I don't know, but I know there's going to be food because scripture describes the marriage supper of the Lamb, where people of all tribes, tongues, and nations are going to gather at the table and feast. So again, it's just everywhere. It's everywhere in our lives. It's everywhere in our Bibles. And what I see is, again, those rhythms. And this is the Christian life. It is a life of self-denial. It is a life where we pick up our cross and follow Jesus. It is a life where we die to self. That's fasting. But it is also a life of blessings beyond measure, of abundance, of gratitude. And that's feasting. So it's everywhere in your Bible. If you start looking for food in your Bible, you're going to be amazed. It's all over the place.
It is. So he said there's equal parts of fasting, but there's equal parts of that feasting. I mean, even when the prodigal son came home, what did they do?
Yeah.
They feasted. Jesus.
Yeah, I didn't think of that one. That's right. They killed that fattened calf.
Of course. So, that is really cool. So going through the motions here and realizing, you know, your journey with food and everything, how has that changed your family and how your family views food?
Well, I think the word I would assign to it is stewardship. God has given me a body to steward, and he's also given me children. And while they live with me, part of being a good mama is taking care of their little bodies. Right. And there's a lot of range in Christian freedom. Can I eat the donut and have my, and Jesus still be pleased with me? Of course I can. But everything I do for the Lord, I have to do from a body. So loving my husband for the rest of my life, that I do that with my body. Taking care of my children with my body. Yeah. Reading the Bible, teaching the Bible, my body. Being with God's people is with my body. So for me, the question that's really infused our lives lately is, what am I going to eat or not eat that's going to help me maximize what God has for me to do today? So I'm not putting big lists of no forbidden foods for my family, but we are having, I think, really fruitful conversations like, buddy, I mean, I guess you could eat ice cream for breakfast, but you're going to have a hard time getting along with your brothers because you're not going to feel good. Yeah. You're going to have a hard time concentrating at school because your brain's going to be foggy. So what's a different choice you could make? And that's been such an interesting shift in the conversation, not just what's allowed, what's not allowed, but what's going to help me glorify God the most today. And the other area is our tables are really pretty sacred spaces. Yeah. They're mission fields in a way. I have a busy family. We definitely don't sit down to dinner together every night of the week.
Right.
But when we do, it's special. Mm-hmm. And when we invite others into our lives, either those who are also followers of Jesus that we just want to encourage, or those who are not followers of Jesus that we would want to point to Jesus, the table is our inroad. You know, come over for a pot of chili.
Yeah.
Join us in the backyard for popcorn and s'mores. Join us at Thanksgiving if you don't have somebody to be with. That really is such an opportunity there. And it's as simple as inviting people to your table.
That is. That is a great way of putting it. Yeah. So much can happen at that table.
Yeah, right.
Shared. So who did you write this book for? Who do you hope gets a copy of this book in their hands and actually reads this?
I love that question. I always write every book for one person. It's not always the same person, but as I'm writing, I identify a woman I know. I may not have to know her well, who I know has an area where I think the Lord wants to bring her more freedom. Mm-hmm. And I wrote this whole book for a friend of mine who loves Jesus very much, knows his word, and has so struggled with food her whole life. Yeah. It's a tremendous source of shame and guilt. And I just have watched that journey. I can relate. I'm not pointing fingers at her, but I've watched that journey. Like me, she's, you know, middle-aged. And I just thought, oh, man, what would it look like for that friend to have true freedom in this area of her life? I think God can do it. I think he wants to do it. So I wrote it for her. I don't know if she's even read it. I don't know if she will. I don't know what the Lord wants to do in her life. But I had her and the many women like her on my heart as I was writing it.
I was going to say, we're praying for her to get a copy of this book and read it, right?
I love that.
So your book, where can we find it?
It's everywhere. Get yourself to Amazon. It's there. If you've got a local Christian bookstore, I hope they carry it, and I hope that you will frequent them. They need your business.
Right.
You can go to Brahmin and Holman, that's the publisher, and they'll have it for you, but it's everywhere, and I'd be thrilled if you picked up a copy.
All right, and we can find several of your other books, I'm assuming, on Amazon. Do we have them like Barnes & Noble and all the other?
Yeah, they should all be there. Awesome. Or erindavis.org is my website, and they're all there together.
And I was just going to ask you how we're going to find you online, where we would find you. So,
yeah, I also have a podcast called The Deep Well, if you're a podcast listener, and we just released a season yesterday on fasting and feasting. So if you want to hear more of this conversation, or you want me to come alongside you as you go through the book, The Deep Well podcast will be a great experience for you, I hope.
Is that published weekly or produced weekly?
No, I just drop seasons as I have a season ready. I drop the season all at once. I try to do it about 4 times a year. And we just dropped Fasting and Feasting yesterday, 8 episodes. So you can binge it all at once, or you can nibble on it a little bit at a time, whatever your podcast pattern is, but it's all there.
Right. That's awesome. So you said erindavis.org?
Yep, erindavis.org.
Perfect. Look for your books around. Your podcast, where can we find that? Just on your website, or do you have that on?
Yeah, it's there. Or if you have a podcast player on your phone, as most of us do, again, it's called The Deep Well. You could just search me up, and all those episodes will be there waiting for you.
Awesomeness. I love it. So I do, as I said, we're talking with erindavis, and the book we were just talking about, Fasting and Feasting, a 40-Day Devotional to Satisfy the Hungry Heart. This was just released in September, so it is a very new book.
Hot off the presses.
Hot off the presses. Final words here. Do you have any great things that you want to give us here, words of wisdom, bits, anything? For our listeners.
Any wisdom I have is from the Lord, but one thought I'd leave you with is from the Psalms. The psalmist declared, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." I'd heard that probably all my life, but as I was studying for this book, it took on new life. He could have said, "Look and see." I can think of a lot of things I can look at and see God's goodness. He could have said, "Listen and see," but he said, "Taste and see." And so that'd be my hope for you today, is just then, and all the gifts he's given you. Again, the coffee in your cup, maybe the turkey sandwich you're going to have for lunch. They're all good gifts from the Lord. And I hope that you'll taste and see that he really is good.
Awesome. I love it. So just one more thing I'm going to ask you today. Would you like to pray over our listeners?
Oh, I'd be honored.
Thank you.
Jesus, we love you and you love us. And that's true wherever those who are listening are in the world, no matter how our days are going, whether we're ticking everything off our to-do list, or we feel like we can't hardly even get out of bed. You love us, and that love changes things. And so I pray that you would just infuse us with your spirit, God. Help us to walk and step with you. And I pray that we would really taste and see that you're good, and that we would have very, very grateful hearts for the many gifts you've given us. It's in your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Awesome. So erindavis, writer, passionate teacher, committed to bringing the word to, everyone, but getting women involved. And check out her podcast and check out her books. Go to Amazon.com or erindavis.org. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. You were just awesome. We are so glad to get to catch up with you today.
And thanks, Maggie. You've been a joy.